Oral Histories of the National Railway Museum.
In this podcast, Bob Sampson speaks with Morris Broad about his railway career.
How are you, Morris?
Not too bad, Bob. Thanks.
Yeah. Very early memories and background to, like, where you live, where you grew up, and what got you interested to join the railways.
We lived in Burra. Born and bred in Burra. My whole family was born and bred in Burra. And I left school in November 1959, joined the railways, and previously to that, I had my three eldest brothers join the railways there as well.
What? But in what capacity did you join it?
Junior porter.
And your brothers? What did they?
I think they all started there at the same. And my dad was in the gang. Prior to that, my mum and her sister both worked in the refresh room. I only found that out a few years ago before she passed away. I didn't know.
I suppose we've got to remember the 1950s and 60s, Burra was still very, very busy.
It was good. I think there was about 60 trains a week, I think. It might not have been that many, but around about that, I thought.
And there would have been lots of passengers getting on and off the trains as well.
Yeah, I've always loved trains.
Yeah.
Because we lived right along where the big bridge is. Used to see them all the time.
But yeah. Seeing your brothers in the railways as well.
That's right.
Being older than you.
Yep.
That would have been a bit of an attraction, I suppose. Yes.
Gordon was the first one of the brothers. I know he was there in the railways for quite a while because he was over at Port Lincoln. And I can always remember one of the little stories that he said over there when they were shunting one night. They told him, he said, you're pushing these wagons back down the wharf. I said, yeah, it'll fit. Yeah, it fitted all right. In the drink at the end of the jetty.
You'd be surprised how many people have told me the same story.
Yeah. Actually, just remember a bloke doing that down Tail and Bend too.
Well, at least if they're going in the water, you can't see them.
No, that's true.
What's some of your earliest memories once you started as a porter in Burra?
I can remember the steam trains coming down on the Broken Hill Express, forward and back.
Yeah.
And then the rail cars. I can remember them on the turntable.
They would have been brewers, not bluebirds.
Yeah, they old brewers. Yeah. Then got qualified.
In safe working rules.
Got qualified, and then I think I stayed there. I didn't go away from there.
Who was the station master, can you remember?
I remember Des Lubke. Now, he was a good footballer. I can't think after that.
Was that Murray Lubke's dad?
Could be.
There's a lot of history, of course, held at Burra itself, with Meredith Satchel and history group up there. They've done a fantastic job.
I think they have.
From there, where did you go, though?
I went on to relief staff.
A relief porter?
Yeah, relief porter. Yeah.
So, there was a lot of them.
Yeah, so I went around there. I worked trains from Riverton to Spalding, Gawler to Newry.
Is this as an acting guard or appointed?
Yeah, it was just a relief. That's all it was.
Yeah.
A porter on the train.
Yeah, they had lots of them based in Gawler as well.
Yeah, well, I was based in Anderson. Yeah, I remember being up the front of the old grill out there, driver alongside. He said, "Hey, mate, give me the paper." He said, "Throw her out."
Yeah.
Every road crossing, you deliver the paper, throw it out.
Okay, you're now at Anderson doing relief porter and going around the place and going on different freight trains. What happens then? How long do you do that for, and what happens after?
And from there, I worked the Riverton cabin, worked trains up there, Riverton.
So you passed a signalman's duty?
Yeah. And then I got sent to Mount Gambier.
Roughly when did you go to Mount Gambier? Would it have been within 10 years of starting?
If I had the date on that photo, because Jimmy Trevelyan went to Mount Gambier prior to me, and then he rang me from down there when he was there for a couple of months, and he said, what's the signalman's position? So I put in for it, and I got it.
So which cabin at Mount Gambier?
It was on main platform.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Did you learn the junction as well?
I didn't learn it. But one morning, the junction didn't turn up, the bloke didn't turn up. They said, "Come on, Murray, slip out there, see if you can get it working." Went out there and looked around at it, hadn't been in it. Yep, we got it working, and the passenger came in.
So how long were you at Mount Gambier? 5, 6, 7 years?
Oh, yeah, I reckon.
Did you get another appointment as a signalman?
Yep.
Where?
Relief signalman in Adelaide.
So that was the metro area cabins?
That's the metro, yep.
Yeah, so Wye and Myling Junction and...
The only one I didn't get was... Myling Junction, we've done that. Wye Cabin, now we got in there.
Yeah.
Went everywhere else, done all the lists.
Yeah.
Woodville, Gawler, Keswick, Myling Junction, Port A, Good, now I said Good, and Riverton. Port A, I was there. This is when things were starting to close down. And I thought, well, what's going to happen now? We're either going to be out, we won't have a job or what like that. And we looked at it and said, well, I wonder if we can get to Dry Creek. And they, yeah, we had a good look at it. And eventually I did. I got the Dry Creek cabin, you know, with all the panels and all that stuff, got into there. That was full on, because you had two blokes in there during the day. Bells ringing and clanging, the ears haven't got over it since. Phones going off.
But by the 80s, you were talking about the new cabin, not the old one that John Crossing used to be in.
Yes, a new cabin, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Not the one on the eastern side.
Yeah, not the station side, no. Because that would have been demolished by the early 80s.
I think I did see a photo of it, but yeah, never worked that one up.
Yeah.
But there in there, worked that one there. No, it was good, actually, I enjoyed that.
I recall you in Myling Junction cabin in the early 80s as well. Because as a school kid, I used to hang around that place all the time on the way to and from Adelaide High. So Myling Junction, I got to know, and the guys pretty well.
We were all pretty young blokes in there.
Yeah. Some of those guys, like, and I'm not joking, they'd been there nearly all their careers, you know. Quite old.
Yep.
And Wayne used to live down Lockley's Way, and he used to walk to and from the cabin every shift.
Yeah.
Amazing stuff. Okay, we now got you at the Dry Creek 1980 style cabin. What happens then?
Well, Dry Creek is where I finish.
Right.
Okay. I can remember coming there one day, and we knew things were going to close.
Well, the standard gauge had arrived by then.
Yeah, so he come in and he said, any of you blokes want to take a payout? And I was, well, what is it? I think it was 2 weeks' pay for every year of service or something like that, plus a bit of, I'm not fully sure on that. And they all said, no. And I said, no. And then he come back 2 months later and I said, 4 weeks. I said, yep. And I said, yep. The other guy said, yep.
I clearly remember that period of time because at that stage I was in the traffic management, you know, with rosters and trucks and movements and like. And I know when the bait was put out, the second bait for 4 weeks, gee, a lot of good people left.
Yeah, that's
it. It was just too good an offer.
Yeah, it was.
I wasn't disappointed that I wasn't old enough, because you had to be 45 minimum to get that as well. And I had no intentions of going anywhere, and I wasn't 45 anyway. But gee, a lot of good people left.
And I went out with that, and I'm still on state super.
Don't laugh. I'm on state super, and you know why? Good. Because I had it frozen. You had to take it out and roll it over or freeze it. Uh-huh. And I was got advice from some very, very good people, and they said, you don't even know what you're going to be doing when you get up in years, turn 55, 60.
Yeah.
If you don't need the money, just freeze it under the current stuff. And lo and behold, in no time, I get a letter, I've turned 55, please come in for an appointment to start arranging your state pension payments. Bloody amazing. And that's 10 years ago, and there's only 14 SAR people left on the books.
Oh, God.
So I don't know how many's left now, but it wouldn't be many.
No.
So can we now sidetrack a bit? What have been your main interests throughout that time, or have they varied, or what do you really enjoy doing?
Well, I've always loved trains, and I still love trains. I'm still videoing trains. Mm. I've got heaps of it. So that's why I like it so much. I never said I don't want to do it anymore. But yeah, trains have always been in my life. Always.
So you were taking a lot of photographs when you were younger?
No, not really. I've got a few, but not many. But I've done video. I've got lots of video. Started off when there was no sound.
Yeah.
I've done Mount Gambier. It's got a few trains and Dunbarra. And done a trip on the old GAN. Second to last one. Narragosa.
Right. Oh,
done a bit on that. And then I progressed to a better camera and another better camera. In between all that, got married, divorced, married again. Today I do video trains mostly.
So I'm guessing that must be what, late 80s?
Left Burra in 1975, went to Mount Gambier, left Mount Gambier in 1982 and went to Adelaide, retired in 1990-something.
Those packages, I must admit, if you were XANR, there was a period of time that you could still accept the offer.
Grant Templer, another one I worked with, and Paul Tobin and Ricky Frith.
I know them all.
They were all in the cabin with me. They were good times. And by gee, I'll tell you what, you had to work in there. You know, because you had broad gauge one end, standard gauge the other end, and then you got to know where they're going, who's going where and what. And I'll never look back and downplay the whole system that I come through from in my life in the road.
Well, I mean, you're a bit like me, but far more variety of career, because if you think back to some of the types of trains that were running when you started to some of the types of trains when you finished, enormously different. Enormously.
Yeah, I know.
See, I started in 71 and the steam had finished a few years before that.
Yeah.
And I certainly saw a lot of changes. But you've seen the stuff from the Brills running regularly, steam on the main line, right through.
Yeah.
Right through.
So that, talking about the Brill cars, when first I was in Burra, his old man was in the gang, King Broad, he was in the gang. They used to go out to the showgrounds, put the switch on, went out there with him. Yeah, put the blade back. And then when the show had finished and the rail car, go out, pick people up and come back.
Oh, you're talking about on that spur short line?
Yeah, over the
bridge. Well, that was the quarry originally.
No, hang on, a couple of bits here. When you come out of Burra, you go to the Bonacord Hotel on your left, right?
Yeah.
So the train line curves around over the bridge, and you've got that loop that goes down the bottom to the big cutting.
Oh,
the
show, side
to
of
the showground.
Yeah, yeah, I'm with
and
you.
And there's about, a couple hundred metres of track in there.
Yeah.
The switches were always there, but they take the blade away.
Yeah. So that's in your own working time.
Mm.
Gee, I thought it was shut before then, but there you go.
Working the rail cars out of Adelaide. Yeah, it was an interesting escapade when my first trip. I had to come out of Adelaide and go through to Gawler and then out to Anderson. Well, there we go. Salisbury, they pulled us up. I said, what's up? You haven't got your marker lamps on. Didn't make that mistake again. But the places I didn't mind Rivet. Rivet was good.
Yeah.
Because you had letters to Bro and a few of the blokes would come up and talk to you between trains. I can remember...
Ringing the bell?
Ringing the bell, yes. And I can remember, it used to be about 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock in the afternoon, sometime, there was a freight used to come through from Tarley. We had to, put him in the side. So we put him in the side, and I don't know who the guard was, but he was as drunk as a lord. Yeah. We virtually had to get him out of the brake then, so... That was that one story of that, but that was another good little cabin. I only went there the other day, and I thought, oh no.
Yeah, it's changed a lot, hasn't it? I mean, even in my time, I can remember Rivet, and sometimes there was three trains there at the same time.
It's
such a busy place it was.
Yeah, steam trains. I can remember the Christmas special. We had one come up, and I can't think. Well, yeah, I know it was a big engine. It wasn't a 520. Flat face on, and that come up, and it was late, and I don't think they made it back to the to the Christmas parade and see. They didn't get back there in time, something that, but they got to us all right, but it must have, when it went back, because we used to put them up on the other triangle, turn that triangle.
Yeah, triangle, off the Clare line.
Off the Clare line, So that used to go back, but the Christmas special. Yeah, we were special, right? She was late. Remember, down there at night, because at night time, the Peterborough or Tarawee train come in, we go down there, put stuff on off that, and then they had buses. Used to go up to Clare.
Yeah, that's right.
For the pass, and you swap stuff over. But, those days they're a memory. Furthest I worked on the freight trains, go down to Tarley. That's as far as they'd let you go, because they had the boats come up from the other side.
Yeah.
That's the furthest I went down, apart from the Gawler to Anderson Newry line. So I've done all that. The first time I worked the train, and what happened was the guard on one of the early morning freights coming into Burra, because you got Hanson first, and what actually happened, he was on the actual engine. And you know our blue jackets, where you button up here, inside, there's a strip to hold this piece in, caught in the door. Dropped him straight down between the rail and the loco. He didn't die.
No, but he became a paraplegic in the Rosters office in Adelaide Station.
So they end up getting me. The train come to Burra. So they brought the train to Burra and they said, right, you got to work at Tarawee.
Yeah.
So I worked it up to Tarawee and didn't know much about the Adelaide end of Tarawee. What do they call it? Bongoola or some darn thing.
You've
got to stop out that end and walk. And he said, no, don't. And the driver said, no, don't walk. No, we'll turn the road. He said, no, we'll come back and get you. Oh, well, that's good. So just as well he did, it's about 2 k's.
Oh, yeah.
It's a long walk.
Yeah.
So then we go down in the yard, and he uncoupled went around by the turntable area and parked that, and they told me, you know, your barracks are just up there.
Yeah.
So I went up to the barracks, that's all right. So I get up in the morning, making me breakfast there, and next minute, woof, 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 woof. I said, what the hell's that? And bloody, I'm by the sink, and the window's just there, and the train line's where the rail car is, and the funny thing's shaking like mad. My first Garrett went past.
Yeah.
So the next time from that, I'm walking back down in the afternoon to get, there's a rail car, one of these, Narrowgate. Trevor was on, coming back from Peterborough, back to Rowie, because he worked a bit down there as well.
Oh, yes.
So, yeah, another bloke rocked up on the Bluebird, the driver. That was pretty serious too. It was running late, and I think it was a three-car set. And I remember him saying, yes, he's not going well. And he went around the other side, and he opened this, and it blew boiling oil on him. All up his arm. We had to race him off to the hospital. And I was just about ready to knock off. They must have had to get someone from somewhere to come in, but yes, poor bugger really got bad. That was really bad.
Were you involved in any derailments of note?
Yeah, the one I videoed. Two 900s in Burrup, right by the old crane, and coming past the shed up there like that, and he went forward, bonk, on the ground.
Spread the track.
Yeah. And she just run off. The other one was, I was riding a 900. Now, if anyone's riding on a 900 and you're hanging on to the two rails up the front.
Well, I know where you're going to go.
And you got
done
your,
there.
You got your feet on the pedal there. And of course, this is on the Adelaide end, and it's going into the dead end on the Peterborough side of the yard.
Yeah.
Of course, it's an SF 900. Yeah, come on, back, hit, right over. Next minute, hang on, my feet. The thing's coming around and squashing my feet.
Yeah.
And I, help. Anyhow, next minute, bang, the old BWF comes off. She didn't like the sharp turn either. I knew that the bogey moved, but this time, you know, I just think, it was just going in a sharp bend, you see, with the SF. I didn't realise. I'm like, help. I never forgot it after that. So,
There was traps in the job. I'm not saying there was a lot of accidents, but there were certainly traps.
No.
A lot of traps. Any other memories?
Oh, there probably is somewhere.
Well, that's all right. Yeah, I mean,
there probably is around the traps. I did do one thing wrong in a dry creek cabin. When you got your stony going around to the port and your standard gauge, because it was dual gauge, we brought the stony in, because we talked to each other, and I thought he said, yeah, no, he's right to go. So, yeah, give him a stick, and around he goes, round he goes. And he said, where's he going? I said, well, you said right to go. No, I didn't. Bang! I said, what? He said, no, we've got the other engines coming over from Port Louis, coming across. Call him on the phone, can you stop there, mate? You got to push back in the yard. One crock up.
Yeah,
it really was, too. Find out about me, too. I said, oh, mate, no. He said, don't do that, Maury. You're better than that.
We mentioned Keswick closer to the beginning of the interview. Can you recall memories of Keswick Cabin and what things stuck in your mind at Keswick?
I can remember it because I got measles. Yeah, I got measles there. I've been working there for a while, and one day I'm scratching myself out the mirror. Sent me home, got measles.
Was Paddy O'Brien there at that time?
Paddy O'Brien, that rings a bell too.
Well, he almost lived there his whole career.
Yeah.
Little short guy, ex-CMF and...
Yeah.
Always had a beard.
Yeah, Paddy O'Brien.
Yeah. Well, he taught me the cabin.
Yeah, go on.
And the signal inspector was Jack Hamilton. He came down for my exam. And Jack Hamilton was a very nice but very typical instructor of the time. Very good.
And what does he say? Red lights don't stop trains.
Yeah, that's so true.
That's what he said. He barreled me the first time. Red lights don't stop trains.
Oh.
Yeah.
The brakes do.
Yeah.
Or derailers.
Yeah.
Or another train.
That's right. Not red lights.
Pat O'Brien, I really enjoyed my time there. And
he was great.
I was there when they were doing the new Keswick. Yeah, and I still think to this day they done it wrong. They really should have swept that over.
Well, it's funny you say that, because I saw plans when I was in corporate affairs of the reversed image of what is in existence today.
Would have been laughing tonight.
So you had all the platforms, not dissimilar to East Perth Terminal, where you've got your suburban lines right adjacent to your main platforms.
No problem.
Yeah.
No.
And they had all that Molin rail yard area for the sidings and everything else.
Yeah, it would have been sprayed alongside the broad gauge. They would have
everything.
Yeah, so easy. And I thought, well, why'd they do that?
It's had a checkered life, that Keswick terminal.
Yeah.
For sure.
Tell you what, though, that we rode the Gant from Darwin to Adelaide. That was one of the best trips I've had.
Yeah.
Excellent. Because that's with this mob that operate it now.
Journey Beyond.
Yeah, so then I said, we better go and do this. You know, the one through New South Wales up to Brisbane.
Oh, the Southern Spirit.
Yeah, done that one
too. The Great Southern, I think. Great Southern, yeah.
Yeah, done that one too. Absolutely brilliant.
Thanks very much for your time today, Morris, and I think it's been great hearing some of those stories and talking about adventures you've had.
Thanks for listening to this oral history podcast from the National Railway Museum.